You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Roundtable Show, our monthly roundtable show. This is episode 972. We recorded this on Thursday, the July the 30th, I think, or the 31st. I think it's the 31st, actually. It should be a great show. We've got a great panel. We've got the regulars, but we also got a special guest. We've got Katie Keith, CEO of Barn2, with us. We're going to be discussing the best WordPress and tech stories of the month, or I think the most interesting ones. I select them, so all your vermin can come my way, not the panelists. So, Katie, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Yep, thanks for having me back. I'm Katie Keith, founder and CEO at Barn2 Plugins. So we have a suite of 19 plugins, mostly WooCommerce, but not all. And we're just in the process of expanding into Shopify apps as well.
Yeah, and I've got my friend Heather. Heather, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, I am Heather Wild-Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference, and I am also known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
That's fantastic. I have there is only one, Spencer Forum. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, it's Spence from WP Launchify. Good to see everybody.
Thanks. I've got Mark. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, yeah, I'm Mark Benzocaine. I am with MainWP and general all-around WordPress.
And his snark is his own.
And my snark is my own, yeah.
And I've got my ever patient and helpful co-host of the regular show, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Kurt Von Annen, owner of Manana No Mas. We focus largely on membership and learning sites and work directly with WP Talk.
That's fantastic. Like I say, we'll be covering the best stories. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out we've got some great special offers from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services aimed at the freelancer and developer, with some great offers as well. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that page. There you go. Are you almost not interrupted me, but you just couldn't resist it at the end.
I waited till you were
gone. There you go. You've said that a few times, I'll bet. Let's go into the first story. And it's from the repository. It's from Raya Moray. Woo is getting louder inside its new marketing strategy. So, Katie, I thought this would be down your street. So what do you think of the article and what's been done lately to try and promote the Woo?
Yeah, they are getting slightly louder. I had a call with the Woo marketing team a few months ago about this, in which they kind of did a preview of their recent announcement to see what my feedback was and so on, because I've been tweeting quite prominently about how do Woo have a marketing team? Why aren't Woo marketing themselves? They're the biggest e-commerce platform, arguably, where are their marketing team? So they therefore invited me on a call with their marketing team to say we are.
Was it a nice call, Katie?
They were lovely, and they did a presentation with me, which is very similar to the one they just did publicly. I was their guinea pig, and they told me that they're 10 timesing their marketing budget. But I said slightly louder that they're getting, and that's because I'm a bit disappointed that it's so targeted. They are only targeting their efforts at merchants with revenue over $1 million a year. That excludes a lot of my potential customers who are often small stores, for example, the people looking for plugins to help them do stuff. And I would much rather see something that raises the name of WooCommerce more across the board. And I know they don't have Shopify's budget, but with Shopify, I see them everywhere I go. They're on Instagram ads. They're on the London tube stations and massive billboards. And we were being so targeted. I still don't think they can compete. And that's sad.
So, Kirk, what do you think? Do you think I'm going to get a call and they're going to sponsor the WP Tonic show, Kirk?
Well, we can hope and pray that, you know, some of that money comes your way, Jonathan. But I'm so out of touch with the whole thing because I thought they went from WooCommerce to Woo back to WooCommerce like last year, 9 months ago or something. And then the Woo is back on the, you know, back up. And, you know, the website's still WooCommerce.com, even though Woo.com redirects to WooCommerce.com. It's confusing. And so to me, I'm going to default to everything WooCommerce for me. And that is that I find it confusing. I find the whole platform difficult for clients to use. I think if we take Katie's input and we say, yeah, they could market to more average people, like more, you know, blue collar boots on the ground types, that would be great. But I think they also greatly need to simplify their offer and what the thing does.
So, Heather, I think this is one of the, I think there's some good news and there's some bad news with this, isn't there? The good news is I think they're identified that they've got to do something. The other good news is that I think it can be still be improved even now. The bad news is it's just, it should have been done in this a long time ago. It's such a massive market, isn't it, Heather? And it's a natural for automatic, isn't it? They could have a really good hosted solution that really competes with Shopify and then still have a more customized solution in the larger WordPress community, isn't it? It's a natural, isn't it, Heather?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the problem is that Shopify is really gaining ground with all of the influencers because it has such a like a better name. I mean, Woo can't woo you the way that they want to. But yeah, no, I mean, every brand I see, like especially the younger ones that are trying to like get in with the people that would have merch stores and like all of that, they're using Shopify. And whereas, so it makes sense that they're saying flat out, we're going for the people that just have more money and that it's better for everyone if we do that. But no, I mean, realistically, if you're a small business like an Etsy store that makes $100 a year selling little things, then they really don't care about you. Whereas Shopify is like, hey, start with us and grow.
Yeah, well, they could change that, couldn't they? So, Mark, what did you think of this article and what they're trying to do?
Well, I'm going to kind of follow up, add a little bit to what Kurt says. Anytime that I always have kind of like this philosophy that anytime that a company feels like rebranding and changing their logos is their main priority and going back and forth or however they want to do it, almost it's a bit cynical, but I kind of feel like they've run out of ideas. So it's time to rebrand. And in this particular case, I like that they're talking about education, you know, educating people more and realizing that the sales cycle is going to be longer and all of that. I mean, that's realistic, especially when you consider the size of the companies that they're going after. But I also feel like one of the things that something like Shopify has is all you have to learn is Shopify in order to put up a Shopify store. With WooCommerce, you have to learn WordPress and you have to learn WooCommerce. And so that is difficult for the smaller...
Well, they could overcome that. Well, that's why I mentioned WordPress.com, because they could overcome
having a
really a good product.
But then WordPress.com has to be really good. So
exactly. That's what the outcome question is.
And I'm not commenting on whether or not it is. I'm just saying it's another factor that has to be really good on top of the WooCommerce. And beyond the marketing, you still have to have a product that is usable. And so I think that putting money into marketing, and I don't know if I've wrapped my mind around whether or not I think the market they're going after is the right one, but I do think that they're being realistic and realizing it's going to take a while before they see anything really come to fruition from all this.
If I could just jump in again, because I am so starkly reminded of an absolute parallel situation. When I worked for Ducati and the Ducati Monster came out, the Ducati Scrambler came out. Anyone that's a motorcycle fan, put up your hand. The Scrambler was not supposed to be a Ducati Scrambler. When I went to the training in Italy with the company, the whole intention was to have a wholly separate company split off in different dealerships. It was going to be Scrambler by Ducati, and they were going to be niche pop-up stores all over the globe, and it was going to be this amazing relaunch, affordable brand of the Ducati brand, the Ducati mark. But the Ducati brand was so big, so strong, so ubiquitous that as they launched the product, the Scrambler, all of the established Ducati dealerships picked up Scrambler and started saying the Ducati Scrambler, the Ducati Scrambler, the Ducati Scrambler. And the whole message of it being a separate product got lost because the marketing wasn't strong enough when it was launched. And I feel like WooCommerce is this big, giant, ubiquitous brand. And I think they wanted to do something different with Woo. I think they wanted to have it, you know, thought about, or the perspective to be completely different in some way. But I think the brand is so big and that so many people just adopted the consistent Woo is WooCommerce message, and it just got lost.
Yes, thanks for that. So, Spence, I noticed in the article, Spence, that they hired a top executive from Shopify to help them with all this. So what's your thoughts, Spencer?
I mean, Kurt's elaboration, well, all you guys hit it on the head, but I want to just take everybody back to the biggest thing really summed up is from their origin. Woo came from Addy PNR and Mark and all these guys way back when. I can't remember the other founders, to be honest with you. It's been so long, but I remember Addy because I was pals with him at the time. That it was just one of the first company. Magnus Jepsen, Mark Forrester, and so forth. Way back when, they were the first company to monetize in a meaningful way what was otherwise all of us sitting around a campfire of WordPress. I think what we can say is that Woo or WooCommerce or whatever they call it is another example of how 18 to something, well, this was 15 years later, the people, I'm not going to say his name, but the people who run Automattic, who owns Woo, do not know who they're serving. When Woo was created, they made themes for people trying to make websites for their customers. Along the way, WooCommerce, for all the ways it got here, became a transactional engine that for theme authors and other people can be the engine that makes their websites sell and buy and do stuff. What they're trying to do now, though, is go direct to consumer. So this is like a company that makes shock absorbers, kind of like Kurt's example, trying to sell cars to people with the same brand. And everybody's like, I thought you made shock absorbers. What are you exactly? And here's the further problem. And this is not a dig at any one person. They have no fucking idea what they're doing when it comes to consumers. Like, seriously, the way they handle this brand and the way they handle WooCommerce and the products, that thing is the greatest transactional engine ever under the hood. But the way they sell it to consumers compared to Shopify is embarrassing. how stupid they're acting about this. Shopify, the name itself says everything. But just, they're trying to sell shock absorbers like bouncy metal things in your car.com. Like, please stay with either we make the products for people who build stuff, or come up with a new brand and call it something else, ShopifyCompetitor.com. But you cannot have it both ways when the people doing it have no idea who they're servicing. And therein lies the rub. Nobody.
Yeah, well, I do think, well, that's why you need a really fantastic hosted solution with slightly different marketing. And if you don't have that, you get what you're pointing out.
I think if they stayed with just selling the parts to people who make sites and make components, that would be the best avenue. They've decided they want to compete with Shopify, but they're doing it.
I disagree with you slightly there, but I do see where you're coming from. So let's move on. Let's move on to the next story. Tesla to fight California's claim it overhyped autopilot. Oh, no chance. And hopefully you could read this LA Times, but I'm sure there's if you put it into search, there's other resources that are not behind a semi-paywall. So, Heather, I think, wasn't there an enormous dump of documentation and screenshots in Germany that pointed out that they were having enormous problems with autopilot and other elements? I think I'm correct. It was like an enormous dump of data that a German investigative paper published recently as well. But I think this is like pulling the curtain, isn't it? I think a lot of the things we've seen in the last 6 months or before is linked to some of what's in this story, but that's my take. What's your take on it, Heather?
I'm not sure about the data dump in Germany. I haven't seen that, but I'm sure you're right about that. I think the main thing is that people tend to, when they hear autopilot, when they hear any of these, like when they hear self-driving, when they hear any of this stuff, then there's associations that these definitions in like their brain makes, and the court case in California, and I think in other places as well.
He's facing similar difficulties in a number of states, isn't he?
Yeah, and countries too. So people are assuming that it does something that he's promised them it does, or even if he hasn't specifically promised it, they assume that it does something that it doesn't do. I mean, I have a Model S with the self-driving feature on it, and I honestly haven't had to like take control of the car in probably a year and a half. Like, I just hit the button and it goes. But the thing is, you do have to sit there and pay attention. Like, Matthew, my husband, is a much more cautious driver. So, like, he actually does take control of it, like, a lot more, because he's afraid. Like, he'll, like, look at it and he's like, oh, no. And
he probably understands in the slight, you know, you probably got a good idea, but it's his speciality, isn't it? So he's probably that's what's worrying him. Ever.
But the thing is, he when he's driving a car, he drives a lot more cautiously. So he's more likely to take control of the car. And I'm always like, it's going to do what it's going to do, you know? So, I mean, as there was one time when I was driving, it was a Nissan with its self-driving feature that I took control of it. But I mean, in general, all of these cars that have the self-driving or automated, like assisted driving features, like they've been getting better and better and better. And as long as you understand what you're getting into, then I think you're good. The problem is when you don't understand it. And I think these cases are being filed.
Well, it's a bit more like that. I think a lot of people are encouraged
Oh yeah, but I think these cases they're being filed on behalf of people, assuming that they don't understand, and that's kind of rude to assume less intelligence. But that's where we are.
There we go. So, what do you reckon, Mark? Is he facing some serious problems here, or is it all going to go away, Mark?
I think it'll probably go away. I mean, not a lawyer, of course. Spencer's the lawyer on the panel, but I think it's going to go away. First of all, the guy's got money, but second of all, you know, I've actually been to Tesla dealerships, and they believe me when the salespeople are talking to you. They warn you about everything. They educate you. They don't beat around the bush and say it's the end all be all. They say it's, you know, still a work in progress and all that. Now, I will say I did have one salesperson one time say, but this is how you get around this, you know, but that is not the official word coming down from up on high with Tesla, which I think is going to be their protection in all this, which is Tesla saying, look, we're not saying, you know, go to sleep while you're driving. We're not saying, you know, any of this stuff. And honestly, as much as I love driving, we have a Mach-E, which also has self-driving features. And then I've got my car, which is a good old combustion engine, which I love to drive. And you know, it rumbles and does all the things that you want it to do. And I love driving that car too. I love driving both cars. But I can tell you that when I stick that Mach-E into auto drive, I actually feel safer, not 100% confident. I'm still watching the road and watching what it's doing. But the reality is when you're driving, I'm in California. I'm, you know, just north of San Francisco. We see a million Teslas on the road. I think that they're, in general, it's safer with these semi-autonomous systems than human drivers are. Human drivers are the worst. So, you know, but they're not all getting sued. You know, Ford's not getting sued because of some human who couldn't drive their car. A lot of these things that happen are because humans make poor decisions.
So, Spencer, like I say, do you agree with me? I think what we've seen in the last 6 months and the few months before, I think what we saw, you know, with the election, blah, 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 it's all kind of linked to all this. And I agree, it's all going to go away, really, I think. What do you reckon? Well, it might not, because he's falling out with certain people, isn't it? So it might not go away, won't it?
I mean, I think that's a keen observation. So first of all, you break out the two things, right? You break out the motives for why things are investigating somebody, okay? We're living in a dystopian moment in time. And I'm just going to say it's interesting for a lot of reasons, because I don't think we're going to be in this moment in time forever. And whatever comes in the future is what we all decide to make of it. So for right now, I agree 100% that there's a lot of actions by a lot of people who are regulatory that have nothing to do on both sides with the actual benefits to society or people. But as far as the actual cars, one of the things I did find interesting on my own in reading about this, I follow a couple bloggers and online guys. One of the guys is very famously on YouTube. He was like the guy who originally like salvaged his Tesla and rebuilt it and from parts. And there's another guy who like tests iPhones, and they're all talking about electric cars. One of the things that is true is that the systems of Tesla cars, not like modern other cars, uses radar, LIDAR, to see objects. It's very economical. But the problem is they've tested and proven that it doesn't often know the difference between a cardboard cutout and a person or a tree or whatever. And so I think Heather said it best. Heather, maybe your husband has the right idea, because there's people who like literally put their feet on the dash, go to sleep on the highway, let the Tesla drive them, and nothing happens.
I don't think Heather does that. She might be.
I mean, it can happen. But there's going to be that one instance where, you know, the little kid with the reflective rain gear walks across the road and Tesla's radar doesn't see it. That's it for Heather. So I'm saying we're in a position where the technology is very alluring to all of us. And I, especially with AI, find this true. It lulls us into a sense of feeling like we can do more than we can or more safely than we can. I think that's the takeaway. I don't think that self-driving cars should be eliminated or that hype. I mean, everything is overhyped. But we should be in a legal standing to have a caveat that says, if you use self-driving mode and if you run over a little kid on the way to school as you weren't driving, that's on you. Like, we just need to set up rules that say, take responsibility for what you use this tool for. And that's enough. I don't like it because here in town, by the way, anecdotally, I have e-bikes. I love e-bikes. My kid has e-bikes. My town went over the top because of a couple blankety-blank complainers. They blanket banned e-bikes from all public streets and sidewalks and trails and, like, for kids, adults. And everybody's like,
I hate
e-bikes. What is wrong with you? Because I thought the regulation is just as bad.
Couple of tow rags in Carson City always killed me, run me over on them. I always had a punch up with one of them. The spawn of the devil, as far as I'm concerned. So, Kurt, actually, Kurt, I think the dump in Germany is more damaging in a way because it showed that there was a load of internal discussions inside the company, and it's quite damaging, but it's Germany, so and the Germans don't like Tesla now anyway, so he probably doesn't care. But I think it's a difficult one to call. Do you think it's all going to... I would have said like a couple of months ago, it's all going to go away, really. But now I'm not too sure. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Well, I've got decades from the automotive industry under my belt, and I've worked for a couple of OEMs directly. Jonathan, there's not a single one of these companies that's not going to have an internal data dump that looks poorly on the company. Just not going to happen, right? So let's dismiss that and let's get into a real conversation. And that is Tesla's documentation and what they tell their customers and what they say the feature does is not overhyped. It performs. By Heather's own admission, it performs. It does what it's supposed to do. For California to say that anything is overhyped, being I have recently escaped the Republic of California, ask them about the billions of dollars for the high-speed rail. Ask them about the donations for, the fire victims when it went to the governor's wife's nonprofit organization.
She's doing a Florida job, is she?
So when California goes to someone and says, this is overhyped, we're going to bring suit against you, unfortunately, it just reopens all of those wounds for all of the other things, like the homeless situation and the billions of dollars that get spent on that. Well, that the progress they have made in the homeless community, that is overhyped. And unfortunately for California, it's with billions and billions and billions of tax dollars money. And so when they bring a suit like this and it gets press, it just makes everyone just kind of switch the view again. It always seems to backfire on them. They should just focus on cleaning things up on their end and letting people do what they do.
Yeah. So what do you reckon, Katie?
For me, the most interesting thing is the wider evolution of legislation when there is new tech, because the tech always moves faster than the legislation. And this is just one of many examples of that. We were talking a minute ago about e-bikes, and there's like lots of controversy around scooters versus e-bikes, and the legislation's trying to catch up. And so for me, it's like there's just all of this happening in society more generally, where the law doesn't know what to do with the tech, and maybe wasn't written, well, it certainly wasn't written with the existence of that tech in mind. So the very fact that they're having this debate really is a reflection of that that's been happening for years.
That's right. Thanks for that, Kay. I think we're going to go for our middle break and get a couple more messages from our sponsors that are much appreciated. We will be back for the second half in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out that if you want to support the show, why don't you give us a review on iTunes or Spotify? If you're on your phone, it's really easy. Just go to the Spotify app, and the same for iTunes, and
you can give us an indifferent, a good or a great review. We love that. It really then helps us be shown to new listeners and viewers. We're getting more people listen to the show, which is great. I think we are producing some fantastic content here, plus our regular show, which is me and Kurt and guests. We try and cover some great subjects, and I think we do a good job in providing content which you won't hear on other podcasts. So if you could do that, that'd be great. On to the next story. Why I am not jazzed about FAIR, from the WP Minute by Matt Medeiros himself, a friend of the show and a goat of WordPress. Or the goat, as you could say. Great article. So, Spencer, what do you make of FAIR, and what did you make, if you listened to his podcast and that, some of Matt's worries about FAIR?
Is this Eric or Matt? I think it was Eric, wasn't it? Eric Kirk?
No, I think it was written by Matt. I think so.
It's weird. They put Eric on there. So, in any event, it doesn't matter much because they work as a team. Yeah. So, what I'm thinking is we suffered for a long time. Hold on a second. We suffered for a long time from this vacuum of all of the drama that goes back and forth with the repository. And for myself, I talk about this all the time. I came up with different delivery mechanisms to get around it because I'm still banned from WordPress.
Are you? He's still banned you. Otto still doesn't like you, Spencer.
There's no heart. What is it? What was the thing he said with harmony, fidelity, rainbows, unicorns pooping, rainbow colors, whatever it was. None of that ever happened because Otto is a vindictive person and so is Matt. But the thing about it is all those other people in FAIR are banned as well. They haven't been let back in. FAIR represents what the word says, which is it's FAIR because it's federated. It may not be perfect, but it's correctly situated in what is an open source community. If someday somebody woke up and said, I hate the word barn. Anybody crazy enough to put the word barn in their products is banned, which, by the way, is not that unusual for what we've seen in this world. Poor Katie and her whole team, doing as well as anybody, are just suddenly arbitrarily kicked out because the king doesn't like the color of their shoes or the word in their name. So I'm saying FAIR is a way to take what's already here, people in the community. I don't necessarily think that Yoast is the guy to run it, but I don't think he's a bad person to start it. I think the tools and the implementation are subject to a lot of conversation. Nick's comment, exactly. People have their livelihoods wrapped around WordPress. All of us do. Katie's company's doing very well this year. A bunch of people in that picture, they can't be subject to the tantrum of the king because he's not the king. He wrote the Tom Sawyer Paint the Fence book, not the I Own the Kingdom book. When he made it open source, the rest of us now get to use that Achilles heel of his to say, you've had a tantrum for too long. We're getting on with it. And so my opinion is this is one of the greatest things that's happened, along with what Raquel is doing with PressConf. Because you know what I'm not doing this year? I'm not schlepping my ass out to Portland for the second year in a row. If they had made it in San Diego, maybe. But I'm not going out to Portland to go see a quarter of the people that are there from the last time, because everybody is really depressed about what the situation is with WordPress. I will go to PressConf, my back willing, because that's new. That's innovative. That's like, wow, let's make cool new things in a cool new way. That's the world we live in. So I'm saying high five to FAIR, high five to PressConf. I'm saying WordCamp could, would, should be awesome. I've had two really great ones I've been to, but not if it's being run like it's run now.
So, Katie, I think for FAIR to get traction, it depends on a few things, doesn't it? It really depends if the major hosting companies really give them some support. And secondly, they're going to have to do more innovative things than just saying it's an alternative to the established system where, like, I put ideas forward, and I think Matt Medeiros in this article talked about it, where you could have premier plugins but you have a check mark. So they're checked for security and that. And there's more of a marketplace for Premier plugins and a separate area. There's all sorts of things that could be done, couldn't there? I think they've really got to do more if they're going to get traction. What do you think, Katie?
Yeah, I agree. I was at the launch event for FAIR and there was a huge buzz around it. Everybody thought it was amazing, super excited. And my thought at the time was this could be amazing, but only if it gets mass adoption. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Matt Medeiros's article as well, that it's all about the adoption. And yeah, so it definitely needs big hosts taking it up, and you can't expect the average site owner to recognize that WordPress.org is not a reliable distribution system, if you indeed think that, and install FAIR. You need to rely on the host to do it. And I've heard very little about it since June, when it got all this hype at the beginning. And then it's gone kind of quiet, which is a shame. So I hope it continues. It's just doing lots of work behind the scenes or something. And as a plugin company, I am excited about the opportunity to have premium plugins. But again, that's totally meaningless unless it has widespread adoption, so that users will actually find my premium plugins via websites that have that distribution system.
So what do you reckon, Kurt? I think without the major support of the hosting, and like I say, more innovative proposals around how you promote Premier Plus 3, this kind of divergence is artificial. And in some ways, I think it's damaging. People want to go to one marketplace and have the choice of both. What do you reckon, Kurt?
I tend to think about new users a lot when new things or new initiatives come out. Like, I think to myself, oh, well, thinking about the politics of the last 18 months, does it make sense that there would be another channel for plugins and stuff? And we automatically would say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But in practice, thinking about new people coming to the WordPress market, it's just another layer of confusion. Mm-hmm. When I am talking from an agency perspective to potential clients and they're throwing Wix and Webflow and all these things at me, and I'm saying, no, I'm an advocate for WordPress. I think there's a pathway to success here. And then it just throws in one more kind of like split or yield sign in the decision process. I think we have to be really careful how it's represented and how it moves forward. To Katie's point, if it had widespread, adoptability and it became like this ubiquitous thing, that would be great. But then how do we make that happen? And for the sake of the new people coming in and the new market share we're trying to gain, is it really a requirement? Like, those are the...
Thanks for that. What do you reckon, Mark? Because obviously this whole affair with WP Engine, I think the most damaging was what Matt decided to do around, taking off certain plugins. The after effects have been extremely damaging, haven't they? That was the event that really opened people's eyes and really got people going, wasn't it, Mark? So they got opportunities, but they need to do a lot more to get traction, don't they?
Yeah. Beyond reading the article, if you listen to actually what Matt had to say in there, one of the things that he was concerned about was this hype and then dying off of the hype kind of phenomenon that tends to happen a lot, not just in WordPress, but open source in general. And we are starting to see a little bit of that. And then another concern of his was this idea that it still kind of leaves a certain, it may not be one person, but a specific group of people kind of holding the keys to the kingdom. I think that to go along, to take Kurt's point further, though, it was always easy to get plugins and themes and all of that. And we never even thought about it. And so with new users, they probably didn't even know that a repo really existed. They probably learned what a repo was later. And now all of a sudden we have a choice, which is great, but it is more complicated. So how do we do that education so that people can understand that? And once again, you know, the more it does complicate things, but also something had to be done to respond to, you know, Matt kind of taking control or showing that he had the control that he did. Actually, you know, so yeah, it just needs some adoption, and I think we're going to see some evolution, and we're going to probably see other ideas out there. But what I don't want to see happen, which is happening, is I don't want to see the hype dying down. I think it still needs to be, you know, there still needs to be momentum behind it and push behind it. And the guys behind FAIR, I actually, you know, I know them and they're great people. So hopefully we'll end up, you know, going in a direction that's needed.
That's right. So have you got any comments or do you want to save yourself for the next story?
Everybody said everything that needs to be said here.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that. Right, on to the next story. I was in two minds about this, but my name's shit anyway, so it doesn't matter anyway. So I thought, let's just go for it. So it's a kind of two-part, but it seemed to me how my mind works, panel, that they were in some ways related. We've got this... you know, I don't understand why it got so big. You know, this obsessed with the Coldplay Kiss Cam story. I was too until I realised the sinister truth at the heart of it. This is from The Guardian, a UK paper. Awina Marwanda, well, I probably butchered her name completely, but at least I had a go. And then we got this really... I found really nasty. I found it mind-blowing myself. Women are anonymously spilling tea about men in their cities on a viral app. And I looked into this and it just blew me away because, well, I'm going to keep my thoughts to myself and I'm just going to expand them after I hear from the panel. So, Heather... which one of these two stories takes your fancies to start off with?
Well, so the whole Coldplay issue, it really made me think of the book The Circle by David Eggers. Like the whole thing, as it was happening, there in this book, it's basically about. It imagines a world, I mean, this was written before the dawn of social media, and it imagines a world where everyone's life is live streamed 24/7. And what happens?
Well, mine is.
Yeah. And what happens when there's no privacy anymore? And eventually, like, there's some people that try to opt out from the circle, but people track them down anyway. And like one of the big cruxes of the book is the protagonist. Like she is checking in with her parents live on a live stream, and it turns out that they're having sex. And like everybody's really all the comments are coming in. They're streaming in like, "Yay, old people sex!" And because like they have to use a they have to use like a penis pump or something. And people are like, "Oh, I didn't know this still existed." And like, there's all these comments. And the parents are just so embarrassed to have a camera interrupting them during this thing. But like the whole point is that nothing is private anymore. And the child is both embarrassed, but also like, this is part of like her world. And she realizes, "I've accepted this now. That like nothing is private and this is the world." So like she fully turns, like has her villain moment. And now she is like accepting that this is the world. And as far as.
Do you have any idea why it got so big though? I think it was because of their reaction when they saw that there had been.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, that's
their reaction. That
if he hadn't done that. if he hadn't had that immediate reaction, then people wouldn't have turned into their like internet sleuthing. And I mean, there was that one Netflix thing the other day. It was like something about like he kills cats, or I can't remember what the name of the Netflix show was. But I mean, it was like Kurt remembers it, I think. But basically, like somebody had posted an article about like. It started with there was something about kittens, and then like kitten Twitter totally turned into like destroying this person's life and because like the guy was mean to a cat or something. And it became a 4-part Netflix documentary about like how destroying a person's life.
Well, very quick comment about the second story, because in some ways the second story just blew my mind.
Yep. Really,
because just go for it, Jonathan. I'm just going to go for it, have a sod it. If there was a forum run by men rating women as,
it's called the internet. And that's the thing. I mean, so like Facebook started as Hot or Not.
You're right. Yeah, man.
Hot or Not started before Facebook. Facebook started as like Face Mash. Like, I mean, the entire internet is basically a public forum of how hot is she? I mean, almost every single one of my YouTube videos has like just boobs like commented underneath of it, like. There was a whole segment of, I mean, like I have had to turn off Snapchat because like there was like every morning I would get like a naked guy from Australia in the shower sending me videos of himself. Like there's just like, this is the internet from a woman's perspective.
I'm 60 now. I feel I'm so naive. I just feel that I'm really with it.
Men don't need a private space to talk about women. So,
don't you think it's still embarrassing that, you know, that people think this is okay, though?
No. I mean, I think it's bad that, like, all these women got doxxed for trying to have a private place to talk about how toxic it is, that like they're getting the midnight Snapchat from an unwanted dude. Like, I mean, so like, I mean, to be fair, dude in Australia is super hot. Like, however, I never once asked for him to start sending me his naked shower videos.
Well, yeah, at a certain stage you might, but not, you know, you might get well, you know, but there you go. I'll give it. So, Katie, what's your reaction to these two stories?
Well, the first story,
two women on this show, because the poison that I'm going to be sent is going to be quite... I don't care. I just really don't care anymore. Go on, off you go, Kate.
Yeah, I just thought the first story was funny, not for the partners who must be hell for them, but the couple involved, the ones having the affair, they chose to go in public. Having their affair, you know,
they got a death wish. They obviously, it does really prove the subconscious, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate they got on a massive camera, but they were in public. That he's a high profile figure, whatever. So you can't really be too upset about their privacy. The other story is interesting. My experience of the internet is somewhat different from Heather's. The algorithm is showing me...
You haven't got any pictures from Australia then, Katie?
No. It doesn't show me any of these things.
I know what you would do if you got one. Just sort him out straight. Well, I think if I could...
And I am very happily married.
Yeah,
it's an Australian guy.
I'm going to keep him out. I'm digging a hole for myself. This is what happened last time when I chose a story like this. God, I'm going to shut up. Sorry, Kate. Keep going. Yeah, anything else?
It's tricky because the public internet is hot or not. Some about celebrities and things like that. But in terms of say comparing experiences of women that you've dated on Tinder or something, I don't think there is a forum for men to do that other than privately. But the thing is, I have not been single in over 25 years. I've not done online dating, and I don't know what the risks are. It may be that some guys are so dodgy that actually the women do need a way to call them out so that other women are warned. So there is that element that I haven't personally experienced, but I'm sure it will largely just lead to people talking shit about people for no reason, like because they've fallen out with someone. You know, you just want to slag off your ex, don't you? And say negative things and put other people off going out with your ex. So I think it might be used maliciously as well as to protect.
I've never done it. I learned quickly to keep your mouth shut about your private business, really. That's what I've, at least I defend myself. So Spencer, what did you get from these two stories that in some way I think are linked, but I'm probably wrong? What do you reckon, Spencer?
A couple of things I picked up from Heather and Katie. Say, first of all, it's not old people dating. It's experienced people dating. And unlike...
You could tell he was a lawyer.
Like Amy and Andy, I am in the... Very happily in a relationship, but in the dating market, the apps and the things that you go into, those of us who've been using them both enjoy them and understand what the limits are. As far as these two characters and hubris. Oh, I have one more comment, by the way, because I just love UK lingo. I love how the author of this had to put a link to the definition of curtain twitcher. I'm a curtain twitcher. Apparently a nosy body is a curtain twitcher. But nevertheless, the point is, anybody today who's been Gen X or whatever, you know, you put a picture out anywhere, it's out there. You know, you go on a dating site, it's out there. You say something, it's out there. These two people had a lot of hubris, in my opinion. There's a picture from the stage showing Chris Martin in a band, and you can see these two, they're leaning over the rail, hugging each other in plain view. They could have gone to the concert, the two lovers, just enjoyed the concert, held hands discreetly, not been on, they could have done a million things. They just put themselves out on the rail. Hey, we're married and F all the rest of you, because like, how obvious is it you're going to be seen, you know, sway into the music. And then the response of the CEO, more hubris. It's Coldplay's fault that I was cheating on my wife in public.
And so obvious. It's so obvious to everybody.
I mean, the CEO mindset, which by the way, I talk about all the time of like, it's not my problem that the company's cheated everybody. It's the, you know, that's the problem. The problem is we live in a world where if you do naughty stuff, karma responds by doxing you. That's it. You act like a dick to your neighbors, you may get away with it, but karma will catch up because there's somebody who filmed it. It will be on Facebook. There will be a swarm of angry mobsters around your house the next day telling you what they really think of you.
I'm gonna jump in because I want Kirk, because he's going to have to go in a minute. So I'll come back to you, Spencer. So, Kirk, I know you got to leave in the next 3-4 minutes. What's your response to the? Can you see where my mind works, or do you, as you got used to me, you know I'm bonkers. So, in a nice way, hopefully. Sometimes I'm not. I know I can have my moments, but what do you reckon about these two stories then?
The idea that women are going to get together and discuss their dates and failures in the dating space and dox men in the process. I don't think there's too much positive that's going to come out of that, period. I just don't. Originally, I can see how people would say, oh, this has great intentions and it's going to create safety and we're going to pull out people that are abusive and stuff like that. I can see that, but in practice, it's not going to work. And then the two people, I am just so thankful I am not in the market anymore. I am so thankful to be married for 22 years and have a wife that I love that lives in my home. I could not imagine the stress and the anxiety it would take to be in today's marketplace and how public everything is. I am so thankful that my teenage years are not part of my photo collection on Facebook. Like, because I did some really stupid things. And I tell my kids, photos last forever and these critiques on the internet last forever. And sometimes people forget about things, but things creep back up. And
You can be like me, Kirk. You just don't effing care anymore.
Well, yeah, but we say we don't care, but then we really do.
I honestly don't. I've got better things to do than care what people really think. Yeah. So, Mark, what did you? I reckon this couple, though. I think Spencer's right. It was a mixture of hubris, but also subconscious death wish, mixed up in a toxic outcome. But story two. But Heather's totally got a different attitude, and I'm not sure what the attitude of Katie was. I think she was in the middle ground. But it just kind of blew me away, really. I don't know. What do you reckon about it, Mark?
You know, when it comes to the Coldplay story, I got to be honest. I hate everything about that story.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, you know, yeah, they did some things that are wrong and they should have expectations, but it's their private business. It was stupid. So let's all just be judged on something stupid we did. And it's kind of like, you know, not to get biblical, but let the, you know, first person who didn't do something stupid throw the first stone.
That was exactly what I was thinking.
So, as far as the tea thing, there's a couple of things. I think toxicity is toxicity. And having dated someone who was an outright narcissist, I can tell you that I doubt that that stuff's going to be super accurate. It, you know, everyone has their own perspective. Having said that, there's also a little bit of a difference between the way I think that, and I'm probably going to get myself into trouble for this. So these opinions are my own and do not represent any company that I represent. I kind of feel like men and women obviously think differently. Like women, rightfully so, hate to be objectified. And men, I think, like to be objectified. So when you're coming at it, I mean, I have never once in my life heard a guy said, I hate the way she's looking at me. You know? Yeah, see, like...
Well, when you got a face like my Mark, that never happened.
Well, But the thing is that... I don't know. I don't know on this T app. I think that there needs to be a place where women can go and safely discuss predators and things like that. I think that has to be... I look at what women have to go through. I look at what my own daughter goes through when she walks out on the street and you know, just goes down a block. And these are things that never happen to guys. And I look at my girlfriend's daughter and what happens to her and how they're afraid to travel alone, whereas I would have no problem traveling anywhere by myself. I just think that there has to be something that is a warning system for these situations. I just don't know that this is it.
That's the key thing, isn't it?
I
think you made some excellent points there, Mark, but
yeah.
Does this really help? Because I really do honestly believe in equality in the law and in general as much as possible. But, this kind of raised my eyebrows. Got to go. We're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show. I think everybody wants to leave. We lost Spencer. Maybe he had enough of the story. I don't know. Panel.
Spencer ran out of words.
Did he? No, that wasn't going to happen. No, that's not going to happen, is it? So, Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Mark?
You can find me on MainWP. You can find me at LinkedIn. You can find me at markbenzacane.com. You can find me on Twitter. I don't frequent it, but I am on it a couple times a week. I am definitely not as... prolific on Twitter as other people that are on this panel, not mentioning any names, Katie, but
love it. Katie, what's the best way for people? Well, I think we know now. Katie, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Well, I recently found out you have to be on LinkedIn as well as Twitter. So you can find me on either at Katie Keith Barn 2 or the company website is barn2.com.
You've got to be on all the social media, Katie, don't you know?
That's so much work.
I know. You've got no time to actually do any work, have you? You know, you're just supposed to be on social media. So, my beloved Heather, Heather, my beloved friend, understands my madness to some degree. So, Heather, what's the best way for people to find out more about you? What you're up to?
You can find me online everywhere at Heatheriel.
So there we go.
Yeah, I'm Heatheriel everywhere, and also at thedifferenceatc.com.
Thanks for the show, folks. It's been great. Like I say, if you want to support the show, why don't you go over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel and subscribe to that as well. Got a load of content on there. We will be back next week with a great interview. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.